Beathard sets up deep in the pocket. Goes down the field for Smith.
Good evening. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports here on Global Patriot Radio, where we can be found at blogtalkradio.com. Most days of the week, starting Mondays, the Vito Esposito Show featuring Vito and Big Al, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Me, Hank Jones, Wednesdays at 6, Hank Jones Poly Sports. Thursdays, I'll occasionally do a Hankerings. I keep saying I'm going to do one. I have not. It's just been too busy paddling. I've had too much going on. I'll try it tomorrow, and I'll send out a notice if I do. And then Saturday nights, Minister Usama Dakduk with the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. And, of course, that one, you don't have to watch Pac-12 football. You can listen to them instead. Very awesome. I'm here in the official Hank Jones Polysports Space Force Observation Outpost with the mini Aussie. Wife is over at Acoustic Hankland working hard. Yeah, lots going on. Just had a hurricane down here. First internet laughy for today, Babylon B. Donald Trump's trial for election interference set to begin in time to interfere with election. That's really good. That really is. And the next one might be even better. This is the second internet laughy, also from the Babylon B. Dr. Fauci called out of retirement for one last mask mandate. And the thing is, it's got like a picture of him like gazing out like he's posing for an official picture or something. It's absolutely unbelievable. So before we get to today's college football preview, let's get into last week's losses that I deem significant. Last Wednesday, we had several. First, actress Hersha Parati passed away from complications of a brain tumor at age 78. She was best known for her role as Alice Garvey on Little House on the Prairie. By the way, I read those books to my daughter. My wife had them, and so I read them to her. It's amazing how little of the story, which is, I believe, five or six actual books, how little of it was actually covered in the TV series. And it was really a good TV series. But the books were fantastic. We also lost musician, songwriter, producer Bob Feldman at age 83. He was also the father of actor Corey Feldman. Anyway, he played with the Strangeloves. Made his biggest impact, actually, writing, I guess. My Boyfriend's Back, he wrote that. He wrote Sorrow. He wrote I Want Candy. Those were three of his biggest songwriting achievements. He also produced a rather successful song for the McCoys called Hang On Sloopy. Yeah, that was rather successful. Finally, we lost Hall of Fame wrestler and actor Terry Funk. He had several championship runs in multiple federations. He was 79. He was the son of wrestler and promoter Dory Funk and the brother of Dory Funk Jr., with whom he had won a few tag team titles. He also choreographed the infamous street fight scene between Tommy Gunn and Rocky Balboa at the end of the somewhat poorly regarded Rocky V. And, of course, he was also the notorious over-anxious bouncer-turned-evil henchman Morgan in that classic flick Roadhouse. Remember, he's fired by the Patrick Swayze character, Dalton, and then he later becomes one of the henchmen to Ben Gazzara's more evil character, the modern-day Mr. Potter, Brad Wesley. He was reported to be suffering from dementia back in 2021, passed away at a Phoenix area hospital, 79. Then tragically, the following day, to the wrestling world, we lost Bray Wyatt to a heart attack at age 36. He'd apparently been having issues since contracting COVID earlier this year. He was Bray Wyatt, born Wyndham Lawrence Rotunda, the son of wrestler Mike Rotunda, the nephew of wrestlers Barry and Kendall Windham, and the grandson of wrestling legend Robert Windham, better known as. Same day we lost actress Arlene Sorkin at age 67 to complications of MS. She made appearances in numerous TV series starting in the late 70s, as well as a successful run on Days of Our Lives. She was on a show I used to watch called Duet. It was only two seasons on Fox. It was like one of the first shows on the Fox network. And she played the maid. She was married to TV producer Christopher Lloyd. No, not the actor, the producer. He produced Frasier. And she served as like a frequent radio caller to the main character, Dr. Frasier Crane. And then Saturday, wow, this is big. Saturday we lost longtime game show host, Price is Right host Bob Barker at age 99. He came very close to 100 without going over. God, I saw that several places. Yeah, came very close to 100 without going over. Yeah. He was actually married to a Dorothy Gideon for 36 years until her death in 1981. So obviously he followed his own advice to us about having our pets spayed and neutered. Too soon? Too soon. Rest in peace, Bob Barker. Well done, sir. Sunday, we lost Samuel Joseph Wurzelbacher, a.k.a. Joe the Plumber, to pancreatic cancer at age 49. He first became known during the presidential election when he called out then-candidate Barack Obama, said his tax policies were going to decimate small businesses. He was right, of course. He was then held up as an example by Republican candidate John McCain, who sadly lacked the balls to be an actual president. Sad thing when the candidate held up as a POW war hero has less balls than his female running mate, that he had less balls than Barack Obama was significantly sadder still. Anyway, rest in peace, Joe. Good guy. We also lost former Major League Baseball player, coach, and manager Pat Corrales. He was 82. He won a World Series as one of the coaches on the Braves staff in 1995. I think he was a base. I don't remember if it was first or third base, but he was a base coach. I remember you'd always see him down there. Monday, we lost Sonny Siler. This is kind of apropos to today's program, the college football preview, because Sonny Siler, he was a Georgia attorney. He defended Savannah antique dealer Jim Williams in the murder case, which was subsequently made into the movie Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. He was also the owner of the bulldog mascots from the University of Georgia. They're all named Uga or Uga. And then each time a new one's in, it's like Uga 2, Uga 3, and all that stuff. Yeah, he was 90. Another internet laughy. CDC announces new COVID variant, election year econ. That's good. Miami Mayor Francis Suarez has dropped out of the Republican primary field. Mitch McConnell froze up again. Could have just been his brain buffering, I guess. Oh, God. So that's what's going on. Hey, if you want to interact with the show, of course, you can listen online. You can come in with an account and get into the chat room as Indy Hawk is doing. And Indy Hawk hopefully will be calling in shortly to be part of our preview. You can also call in 319-527-6706. We've got a couple folks on the line right now that are going to be talking because we've got some stuff going on. Anyway, real quick, Hurricane Idalia made landfall overnight in the Big Bend area of Florida near the small town of Keaton Beach. It reached Cat 4 status. Came ashore as a Cat 3. Thus far, at least two traffic deaths have been attributed to the storm. Now, past events tell us there will be more deaths, mostly avoidable ones. So for those who insist on stupidity, here's another reminder. Don't stand under trees to have a cigarette while the storm is passing. Don't walk into deep standing water. Stay clear of downed power lines. Don't drive if you don't have to drive. In all seriousness, if you are one of those who does venture forth in a boat, a canoe, a kayak, or on a paddleboard, don't freak out if you do see downed power lines. Seriously, just do this. Stay on or in your vessel and get away from the area. Seriously, just do not get off your board or out of your vessel. That's it. However, if you're in an aluminum boat or a canoe, I don't know why in the hell you're anywhere near downed power lines. in water. So whatever. And then real quick, an interesting debate between John Mellencamp and Bill Maher on Maher's Club Random podcast. Evidently, they got into it over a couple things, one being the Second Amendment. John Mellencamp says, just change it. It's an amendment. You can just change it. And Maher said, no, Hawkeye Mike's saying he can call in later. I'm saying, no, stay online, stay online. Maher said, no, you can't really do it because the people that want the Second Amendment are just too entrenched in it. These guys don't get it. So anyway, Mellencamp then said, only 1% to 2% of black people in America today are living better lives than the slaves. Bill Maher said, I would say the playing fields are a lot better than the cotton fields. He says, maybe I'm crazy, John, but it seems like making no money as a slave picking cotton was not as good as playing left field for the Yankees. And Mellencamp said, there is no doubt that 1% or 2% have a better life. So Maher said, oh, stop. That's what you think, 1% or 2%? He says, okay, let's just say 10%. I just pulled that number out of my ass. And Maher then said, yeah, that's where your opinion belongs. But then they went on to debate the Second Amendment. He says, a good place to start is to get these effing guns away from people. Just because it's the Second Amendment, change this. People say, you can't change the Second Amendment. Fuck, you can't. It's an amendment. Change it. Gosh, Mike, yes, call in. I got you on the line. Got you on the line, so I'm going to have you all on. Yeah, it's just, it's these idiots. It's literally the blind leading the blind in all this stuff. It's just the idiocy of these guys. So first I'm going to grab Indy since, oh, actually I'm going to grab Avid Mike since he said yesterday he'd get on, so I'm going to get him on real quick. Avid Mike, are you there?
I'm going through. Yeah,
good,
I'm here.
Good. Okay. Bring in Indy Hawk next.
Sounds
Indy.
Good.
Indy, how you doing?
Hey, Hank.
So
I'm doing well.
We'll get to some stuff about some of our pundits, but I just want people to know that you and Hawkeye Mike and I and Brother Tommy, to a lesser extent, I mean, we were carrying people across Hampshire Bridge when some of these guys were quote unquote becoming Hawkeye fans. So I just needed that on the record. So gonna bring in Hawkeye Mike next. Hawkeye Mike, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Hank?
Good. And now, guys, we got to bring back. He missed last year, but we're bringing back. He is coming back. Illinois' biggest closet fan. Illinois' biggest. You guys know who he is.
Yeah.
Mike doesn't know this, but this is this is.
He's in for a real treat.
Yeah, he is in for a real treat. The previous star of the show, here he is.
This is TJ, dedicating the song to Black Betty.
Whoa, Black Betty, bam a lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, bam a lamb. She's from Birmingham, bam a lamb. Way down in Alabama, bam a lamb.
Brother Tommy, you are there, I assume.
Can you hear me?
I absolutely can hear you. The
return
of
need to come Illini, Tommy.
Just a quick two things, which I said 2 years ago. My brain is jello. My memory's jello, but I remember when I get ridiculed. First off, the first time I said Illinois was going to win, they're going to beat Penn State. You all asked me what drugs I was taking. Well, they subsequently did win. Question is, then what drugs were you taking? Number two, I do not like Illinois. I've got a ton of faith in Brett Bielema. I do not like Illinois. I always refer to my friend that went to Illinois. I do not like Illinois. However, I respect – I don't like Alabama either, for what I'm going to say. I don't respect them. So
yeah, I know.
I just had to clarify that.
Okay. Well, we just had to get that in.
Coming out
yeah,
swinging.
Bro. Yeah. So, Indy, you're the only one I haven't talked to live about this, so I'm going to get you on this one. The whole Noah Shannon issue. What have you seen? What are your thoughts? I mean, am I crazy in thinking that they've gone overboard?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like Kirk said, two Big Ten teams, but I know Alabama's being looked at. But you know this is going on
yeah.
all
yeah.
over the place. So, I mean, you can go get anybody. It's one of those deals. You can go get anybody you want. They all have an alias. If you dig in, you'll find it. So it's going to be hard for the NCAA to deal with this.
Absolutely. I mean, here's the thing. Mike and I were talking about this. Avid Mike and I were talking about this yesterday on the phone.
Yes.
Literally, every telecast has commercials for FanDuel, DraftKings, mm-hmm. Fantasy, you know, whatever. You've got, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a bowl game named by one of them. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. If any of you think that Jannen will be back this season or not, anyone think he will?
I don't.
It depends on the appeal. You know, you tell me how that comes out, and I'll tell you.
Well, it took my 5 months to just render a ruling, so what's going to say they're going to get it done and by the end of the season? We've got 3 months. So
yeah, my guess is probably no. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
My prophecy is 6-game suspension. That's my prophecy.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Let's hope.
So Cade McNamara, originally it said yesterday, was slated to start. He is now questionable. Avid Mike, what are the chances he plays? Your guess.
75% or higher. I think he's going to play, and he's going to play a few series, and then we get up, and then we put, you know, whoever's in second string.
Right. Brother Tommy, if you had to guess, what's the percentage?
I would say just think first game, preseason, pro football. Echo what Mike just said. I'm guessing a series, maybe two, just to keep them fresh. And then if the offensive line is doing stellar, he's going to get his protection, maybe 3 series, and then I think they bring him out.
Oh, that's what they should do.
Yeah. Andy, right. What do you think?
I would agree, but we've got this thing out there for Brian Ferentz. 25 points a game, minimum 7. Yeah, he may try to hang 70 on just to get the numbers up. You know, 112K, I think, is what he's got at stake. So,
I do believe we scored 70 against Utah State back in like 1968 or something like that. So Utah State is our bitch. I think that's no doubt. So. Hawkeye Mike, Lawyer Mike, what do you think? Do you think he plays or not?
Yeah, I think what these guys, everybody else has said about right. My understanding is he was cleared medically to play. It's a question of how conservative Kirk is, you know, final say on that.
Okay, that's fair enough. Okay, before we get serious, we have a few other good joke questions. Andy, this one's for you. The Big Ten will soon be at 18 teams. What will happen first? The Hawkeye basketball team wins the Great Alaska Shootout? Or an Alaska-based university joins the Big Ten? Which happens first?
I'm going to go with the Shootout.
Okay. We'll see. Next up, Avid Mike. When the Earth finally comes to an end, which will have more members, the Big Ten or pro wrestling, the old pro wrestling group NWO? Who will have more members? You remember the NWO,
Big Ten. Yeah,
Big Ten,
okay.
Big Ten
by far. Yeah.
Because NWO pretty much had like 100
we're going,
guys.
It's the March for 25 for Brian. It's the March for 30 for the Big Ten. So.
Yeah, that'll be the new 30 for 30. It'll be 30 for 30 will be about the
there you
go.
Then ESPN's back in play.
Hawkeye Mike, how many schools does the new and reformed Pac-12 reach before it implodes again?
I don't see how it goes on. I think it's going to implode pretty quick. I think, you know, the decision's going to have to be for the 4 teams remaining, you know, where are they going to go? And it's probably going to be the WAC or Mountain West, one of those two. I mean, maybe somebody gets in the Big 12. I don't know. I'm talking Oregon State, Washington State, Cal, Stanford.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
It's conceivable that the Big 10 goes to 20 and might take Cal and Stanford. I don't know, but.
Yeah.
You know, we could – the Big Ten's probably going to go above 18, I think, you know, the way things are going to mega conferences.
Last questions for Brother Tommy, since he has seen my actual 2012 Jeep Patriot. Which is worth more, my 2012 Jeep Patriot or the Pac-12 streaming rights deal? Brother Tommy, you're on the clock. Brother Tommy might have lost us. That can't happen.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Okay. Mike, you're the lawyer, so I'm going to ask you, what's more enforceable, a law passed by voters in California or the ACC grant of rights deal?
The ACC would like to think that their grant of rights deal is. I don't know. I think the answer is that both you get into a court of equity, and they're going to do whatever they want with either with either one of those two things.
Okay. So now we're going to get serious. I'll start with Avid Mike. Two things we must see against Utah State this Saturday, not counting Cade playing. Two things. What are two things we must see?
Passing downfield more than 10 yards and not out patterns over the middle. And just able to run the ball, have an over 5 yard average for the game, running the ball.
Okay. Andy, how about you?
Offensive line play. I mean, I still am. I don't know what's happened, but it's really been bad the last 2 years. We had Linderbaum 2 years ago, you know, and it's so Barnett's in his third year. And this line is massive. If we don't dominate up front,
yeah,
I agree. We got. Hopefully, we dominate, establish the run game, set the precedent, dictate our will. You know.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm looking for.
Okay. And then Mike, how about you?
Yeah, I kind of like to look. You know, I think they've got the skill positions. That the question is the line, but hopefully, you know, we've got some, like say, some. They are massive. This Jennings dunker won this hay bale thing that I guess like Gallery and some of the other studs of offensive lines passed one. He's like a redshirt sophomore going to start. 320, 6'5". They're pretty high on him. They've got a couple guys in the portal too. This Seth Sloth and Dejon Parker. You guys correct me if I got it. Yeah. That they're high on too, and they're not even starting. So it looks like we've got some depth at the line, and I do expect them to be better, so, you know, significantly maybe.
Brother Tommy,
can you hear me
back
now, Hank?
Yeah, back. You're back. Okay, so what are two things you think must happen this Saturday that you've got to see in this game before you that will convince you to watch the following week? Two things you got to see.
Me?
Yeah.
A W, a convincing W. 21-point victory, line protection,
okay.
Offensive.
So everybody seems to say line, yeah.
And I'm interested in this Peterson or Patterson, whatever his name is from Florida. He interests me, as does the obvious.
Hey, nobody said anything about the defense. I'm kind of interested because I'm kind of worried about our – really?
I'm
even
not.
It seems like we have a little depth I'm wondering about, but maybe not. So
I'm not too worried about defense, though.
Until we have faith.
Expect that once, yeah.
Okay.
Now, after the game, I might be worried, depending on what happens.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to start Brother Tommy on this one. Should we, as fans, as Iowa fans, should we care about Minnesota-Nebraska tomorrow night? Do you think that's either one of those is going to be a threat to us this year?
It's going to be interesting to see what the Baylor coach does with Nebraska. That's my interest, to see what he's done in 1 year. That, to me, is the interest. Fleck's going to be Fleck. Minnesota's going to be Minnesota. My interest will be strictly on the Nebraska side to see it through what they are. I'm not rooting for either one. Maybe Minnesota. I've got a lot of family in Minnesota, but I'm every bit as indifferent to them as I am to Illinois. So.
Okay. Anybody think P.J. Fleck could be moving toward the hot seat?
No.
Yeah. Not unless they have an unexpectedly bad season.
They posed that question on BTN, and I'm like, that's the dumbest question I've ever heard in my life. He's
really? They
asked
it? Okay.
Yeah,
so
they posed the question.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got three Big Ten matchups this weekend, Minnesota-Nebraska, Ohio State, Indiana, and Northwestern Rutgers on Sunday, by the way. So, Minnesota, Nebraska, Avid Mike, pick the winner of that one.
Minnesota's breaking in a new quarterback. Well, not really. He played a little bit last year, but I got to go Minnesota. I just can't pick anything for Nebraska. Coming from Northwest Iowa and listening to those people all my life.
Okay. Andy, you're gonna pick. You're gonna the obvious choice on this one: Ohio State, Indiana.
Well, I'm going Hoosiers all the way.
No, are you
kidding.
Really?
Okay.
Is
no,
it even
going to
be close? Is it even going to be close? I mean, is Indiana recovered from that? You know, I mean, basically they had that huge year in 2020, and then just tanked in 2021, which started with us.
Is it at Indiana? Is the game at Indiana?
I'm not sure.
You know
I'm
what?
I
had
it
on.
I could be wrong.
I had it.
I
on,
think it's at Indiana. I'm pretty sure it's at Indiana.
Yeah, I thought so.
I could be wrong too, though. Could be wrong too.
No, it is. It is at Indiana, but I don't think that really matters.
You know, first,
I mean,
first game of the year. You know, sometimes weird things happen.
Yeah, well, like Indiana Penn State.
Now we're talking the over.
It could be closer than you expect. Yeah.
Well, you know what? What is that? The over under on that is is 59, and the line is Ohio State by 30. I mean,
that's impossible. That's impossible.
What's impossible? Well, what's impossible? The line or the over under?
Are you sure you read it right? Ohio State's only favored by 30.
Minus 30.
It's a road game. That's why probably.
Yeah.
Well,
Indy. I mean, what are you? Indy, Indy, you live there. Indy, you live there. What's the talk about Indiana? Anything at all or no?
Well, they're talking today like, you know, we need to be, instead of saying this is going to be a good test of how we match up against the best, we need to say how are they going to do against us. And I'm like going, okay. So they're trying to talk.
So
is
Tom Allen related to Bob Cummings, I take it? Because remember Bob Cummings was back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Bob Cummings?
Interesting note. My former neighbor is Taven Jackson. I know his dad real well. And Trace Jackson Davis is in the NBA. He's potentially one of the two quarterbacks they're looking at.
Oh, really? Wow.
I'll be watching for that reason. Yeah.
Okay. And then
he transferred from Tennessee.
Okay. And Hawkeye Mike, I'm going to make you choose on this one. Northwestern, Rutgers.
Well, that's an interesting matchup, I guess, to the extent that I don't know who's going to win. But it's hard to expect much out of Northwestern after what they went through. Rutgers might be slightly on the rise. The game is at Rutgers, so I'm going to go with Rutgers.
Okay.
I think that what's his name, the coach there? I think he's solid.
Oceano. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should any Big Ten teams be on upset alert this weekend?
No.
None?
I don't think so. Because
there's no upset.
Yeah.
The only upset alert would be Ohio State. I bet you the line with the other ones are less than six, probably six, 5.5.
Fresno State over Maybe. Purdue.
What's
Fresno
that?
State over, Fresno State, Purdue.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the aforementioned game.
I'm
totally
not sure how much
bad.
Of an upset that would be.
Purdue's only a 3.5-point favorite.
Right. That's really the only one.
Indy, again, you live in the area. What's the talk on Purdue?
I've not heard much at all from Purdue. A lot of talk
about
IU for some reason, but yeah.
I'm not
really been that plugged in.
Defensive coordinators are tough, so I would not expect Purdue to do too well this year. Now, he's a good defensive coordinator. It's going to take 3 years to transform that program. Not transform it, but
so
get it back to what it was.
Our former Hawkeye wide receiver and paddleboard client of mine for one day, Tyrone Tracy, has officially made the move to running back. He is now listed on their roster as a running back. Now, he played running back in high school, I'm pretty sure. So, you know, I'm wondering if that's going to be anything significant or anybody. I mean, have you seen Indy? Is he starting or anything? Or
I do not know.
He got that kid that walk-on for last year that was so good for Purdue.
Oh, walk-on running back?
For Purdue last year, remember he was a walk-on that started the whole season for them. God, what was his name?
I'm looking at their list, and I'm not seeing anything that reminds me of the. Did the guy not go to
Mockabee? Devin Mockabee was a walk-on.
I think what Mike's getting at is that they're pretty thin at running back, which may be why they're relying on Tracy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, true. And I think also he just You know, he's shown a little bit as a receiver, but I think that's just that was an experiment that might not have worked. So, Brother Tommy, who's going to be the star for the Hawkeyes this weekend?
The dog was barking. What now?
Who's going to be the star for the Hawkeyes this weekend? Who's going to be the breakout player for the Hawkeyes this weekend? Patterson? Is that who you're
Patterson,
looking
for? And I'll tell you why. They want to get him as many reps as possible just to get him some game experience. The other ones, when it's 24-0, they're going to start pulling him out. So, yes, I'll go with Patterson, unless we have some wide receiver I'm not familiar with that hasn't played before but supposed to be a stud. But I'll go with, yeah, Patterson.
Okay. Avid Mike, who are you looking for the breakout star for this weekend?
I think we talked about this the other day, but I think it's going to be Seth Anderson.
Okay. That's the wide receiver from Charleston, is it?
Charleston. Yeah.
Charleston or Charlotte, one of the two. Yeah.
Charleston. Everything I've heard about him in practice, he's been dynamic and catches everything.
Yeah. Hawkeye Mike, who are you looking for as the breakout player?
Well, I think that Patterson thing that Tommy touched on is interesting, but I'm going to say Caleb Johnson, the starting quarter running back. I was reading he's up to 230. Sounds like the guy's just huge. I expect him to have a big day Saturday.
Okay, and Indy, who are you looking for as our breakout star?
I'm going to echo what Mike just said. That Caleb Johnson added 15 pounds. Hopefully he's not drinking a bunch of beer at 308 Ronald Street where we were. But if that's good weight, he's going to be a force.
Yeah. How many players is he going to get?
That was our exclusive domain.
How many players is he going to get? He'll start, and how many players is he going to get?
That's a question. I mean, if we're going to pad Brian's stats in these early games, they're going to have to ride him a bit. They're going to have to. Go ahead, Mike. No.
I was going to say, if we're only going to play Cade a few series, then you're going to have to ride all the running backs. So.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going on to the other side of the ball. I think Jay Higgins is the. He got in a lot last year. He played a lot more. He didn't just play situationally, and I just think he's the and Nick Jackson too maybe, but I just think. I think some of these running backs are a lot better. The only problem is we're not as deep, you know, as we were, you know. But, you know, losing Campbell and Benson, and, of course, Oregon's favorite son, Justin Jacobs, who that was his dream school, of course. So that just still cracks me up. So, okay, so a little bit break here. There's a story on ESPN that Harbaugh – wants revenue sharing for the players. Is this grandstanding? Is he realistic? Hawkeye Mike, is this realistic at all?
I'd like to think no. The NIL has kind of been, Lou Holtz was on, I saw him last week saying it's kind of ruined college football. I don't know if I'd go that far, but revenue sharing, I don't know. Sometimes Harbaugh gets a little bit screwy. It seems like that. I don't know if that's a road you really want to go down. It just becomes another, like a minor league NFL at that. Maybe we already are that way in college football. I'd like to think we're not. But you start doing things like that, and it's just, how's that any different than just professional sports?
Here's what he said. We all should be about diversity, equity, and inclusion. I'm calling for a system that is fair, equitable, and benefits all involved. And then he says, you can't say you're about diversity, equity, inclusion if you aren't willing to include the student athletes in revenue sharing. And then he went on to say, we have to try to make it work. We have to try and make it better right now. He says, the current status quo is unacceptable and won't survive.
Such an easy statement to make when you make $10 million a year.
NIL means nothing to
him, I guess. Yeah, I like that.
Easy statement to make when you make $10 million a year. This is nothing
exactly.
but a recruiting stunt for him. He wants to get out in front so he can tell all of the players, even though they denied it last year, I'm going to bat for you fellas. I'm looking for revenue sharing, which will never happen. Well, I don't know, in light of what's happened recently.
Yeah.
It'll never happen. It's a recruiting stunt, and but it's easy to say shit like that when you get pocket $10 million a year. So, yeah. I'll share.
So it's just to put BS. So, okay. So, Andy, I'll ask you this one. Do you think NIL contracts will start requiring players to play in bowl games?
Matt, have you seen the numbers from these NIL? Just Google that sometime. It is absolutely crazy how much money they're yeah. pulling in. I would hope so. I mean, I think they should. It's like they're getting paid now. But, that's kind of ruined the bowl season when everybody's opting out for the NFL and all that. So I think that
would be a good change. we're going to a playoff thing in next year, 12 teams. Are there really going to be – I mean, I suppose or maybe – what's the rationale for bowls at that point? I think it should become like NFL. You make the playoffs or you go home. Ooh, we're talking about 12 teams, Ed. You can't make the top 12. You know, season's over when you play your last regular season game.
Yeah, when I say bowls, I mean postseason. Yeah, it's changing landscape for sure.
I still think there's a place for the bowl system. I do, but I just don't agree. It's not going to be the same. I mean – It's going to be kind of like, remember a couple of years ago, the COVID year, the Big Ten was going to have like that championship weekend where it wasn't just the Big Ten championship game, but all the teams were going to play before half the teams was out. I could see something like that, like some kind of mini, like an intra regional thing, like say, you know, Iowa plays Missouri or whatever, you know, that kind of a thing in some kind of regional bowl format or something, you know, I don't know. I just don't think you can eliminate what for a lot of communities is an important annual event and, you know, be turn around and expect them to support college football on a, you know, down the road. I mean, you know, why should the city of Orlando, if they lose the Citrus Bowl and the Cheez-It Bowl or whatever those things are called now, why would they really care? I mean, why would the community then get, you know, rally around UCF? Because UCF's not going to be in the playoffs every year. You know, I mean, I would think they're not, but, you know, I just don't see it. I mean, they've got to figure out a way, but I just don't see how the bowls can just go away. But who knows? Let's get to this one. Let's pretend that we know that the Hawks aren't going to win the Big Ten West. We'll start with Brother Tommy. If it's not Iowa that wins the Big Ten West, who is it?
You tell me, fellas.
No, start with you. You got to come up with a team.
My point, it was a joke. I know you guys are going to laugh again. Illinois.
Okay. That's fair. Okay. Brother Tommy's going to go with Illinois. Avid Mike, who would you go with?
I haven't really thought about it because it's the foregone conclusion. It's Iowa, but I guess we'd have to go to – I'll go Illinois. I can't say Wisconsin or Minnesota.
Indy, how about you?
I would go Wisconsin. I'm kind of fascinated to see what Luke Fickell does there with it's like taking a, you know, high flying offense into a ground and pound. They still got Allen. So that's going to be an interesting, I think that could be a hard situation for teams to deal with their, you know, they're obviously they're always good up front, but if you start throwing it around, but it'll be interesting to see how that transitions. But I think they'll be interesting to watch for sure.
Mike, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going to say Wisconsin. I think it's usually, a lot of often comes down to Iowa or Wisconsin. It's not Iowa, probably them. That game in Madison, I think the second week of October, it's going to decide the Big Ten West.
Okay, that's fair. You know what? This is going to sound crazy. I'm gonna go with Brother Tommy on this. I think Wisconsin and Nebraska have new coaches, new systems. I don't know what, you know, I don't know how good that Tanner Mordecai is, for, you know, their new quarterback. They lost Graham Mertz, so I don't think was any big part. He started out, you know, speaking of, Brother Tommy may have been a shill for Illinois, but Indy, you were all over Graham Mertz for a while. I think you wanted him to transfer to Iowa at one point.
Airball.
I think Illinois has the has the most continuity of the others. I mean, you know, they're not changing system. Purdue, new coach. Illinois did lose their coordinator to Purdue, but I mean, Purdue, new coach. Nebraska, new coach. Wisconsin, new coach. Northwestern, new coach. And I just can't see Minnesota winning the Big Ten West. I don't see how that happens. I just don't. So I'm going to echo.
I think the West
Tom
is going to be a lot better, though.
And also, both Illinois and Minnesota are at Iowa, so I think it's going to be a tough road for them. It's in Kinnick, both those games.
Yeah, Andy, what were you saying? You think what now? The Big Ten West?
I think the Big Ten West is going to be a lot better this year.
Okay, so let's pretend, doesn't matter if it's Iowa or whoever. Does the Big Ten West have a shot to win the champion, the Big Ten championship game? Avid Mike,
no.
Let's start with you. Avid Mike.
Yeah.
You think
Ohio State's breaking in a new quarterback? Michigan, their luck has got to run out of how they've been playing the last two seasons, and people are going to figure out how to shut that run down. And Penn State, they're a brand-new quarterback also. Yeah, Aller's played like two or three games last year. But, I really think there are teams in the West that can win the whole thing this year.
Ed, do you disagree?
No, I am really, you know, I don't usually care about, you know, I don't value the whole team captain thing, but I just found out, I think, this week that McNamara and all were both team captains at Michigan. I'm going to be real interested to see, you know, if they start, you know, kicking some butt when they see people slacking or whatever's going on there. If they put that thing together, you know, I really do think we can win the West and the championship.
Okay. Mike, you think, Evan, or Hawkeye Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's one game, right? And I think Iowa, if they're in that championship and they're 10-2, maybe even 11-1, something like that, which I think is very possible, absolutely they can win. One game against Ohio State or Michigan, they don't play them in the regular season.
Yep.
Okay.
We better take advantage of that schedule. I mean,
absolutely.
Brother Tommy, what do you think? Do you think the Big Ten West even has a shot ever?
Yeah, I think the Big Ten East, whoever wins it, one of three teams going into the game is going to be a 19-point favorite, as they should. So in a word, no, I don't think they have a snowball chance in hell.
Okay. So what's the closest game in that time? There hasn't been a close. I mean, there really hasn't been a close game in that. I mean, the closest one.
2015, Iowa, Michigan State.
Yeah, that was the closest one. I mean,
you went back 8 years and you didn't have Ohio State or Michigan.
My heart's
prime.
Still broken.
Yeah, you know, but I'm just saying. I mean, that's the closest it's been. I mean, Northwestern actually only lost to Ohio State by 12. Wisconsin in 17 only lost to Ohio State by 6. But other than that, that's been the closest one in the East-West format. Now the other Legends leaders, it was different. But you know that doesn't you know that's not really you know germane. So I don't know. I mean, if the West team wins it, they've got to pretty much be well. I guess one loss they could make it. I have a hard time believing that a two-loss West team would ever make the college football playoff, whereas a two-loss Michigan or Ohio State could. They'd figure out a way to justify it, but, you know, I don't know. So, okay, final predictions for this weekend. Iowa – I assume we're all going to pick Iowa to win. So let's go Iowa points and let's go with, Iowa points and Cade McNamara pass yards. Let's start with Indy. How many points did the Hawks score?
I'm going to say 52.
52. And how many yards for Cade?
I'll say 187.
187. Hawkeye Mike.
Yeah, I think 42. I think I'm going to say 42-7 is the game.
Okay.
McNamara, in the low hundreds because I don't think he's going to play a lot. I'd be surprised if he played beyond the first half, but he'll look good. And yeah, so Hawk
okay.
will get over 400 yards, I think.
Okay, Avid Mike.
I'm going to have to echo it. I'm going to go like 45-7, and I was thinking like 120, 125 passing for him just because you got to keep him healthy.
Brother Tommy.
38 points. What was the second part of the question, my bad?
How many yards for Cade
McNamara? McNamara, that's right. 74.
74, okay. I think first of all,
he's not going to play. I'm not saying he would. I'm not saying he's not much better than that. He's just not going to play.
Yeah, I think if we only score 38 points, poor Iowa State the next week because we got to pad the running the scoring for Brian. So, I would say 42, but I'd say Cade is going to throw for 200 plus, say 220, and the reason I say that I think. Avid Mike made a point. We've got to show that we can go downfield. And so I think Cade's going to make sure that he does that. So I think he hits some big ones. He may not play, he may only play three quarters or a half, but I think he's going to hit some big ones. I think we're going to have to. I think we're going to have to show that our receivers can get separation, can get open. And frankly, if we don't, then it's not all on George Burnett. It's also on our receivers coach. I mean, Kelton Copeland
is – You threw it out at the beginning. The guy's questionable, so –
Yeah.
Let me ask you a
but
quick
I think
question,
plays.
Hank, or probably Mike, one of the Mikes, or maybe Indy Hawk. I don't know. So what is the deal? I have not gotten closure on this. One thing says that he's fired if he doesn't get 25. I thought it was just his contract was diminished.
No, he's fired.
He's fired if he doesn't average 25.
Yeah, that's my understanding, too. Yeah,
he
has to average 25.
And okay.
I thought it was just a bonus.
7 wins.
Yeah,
if he can't do that this year with this team this year, if he can't do that, he damn well should be fired. I will be totally disappointed if they don't win the Big Ten West. I mean, there's no in between here. They don't win the Big Ten West, it's a huge disappointment because
we almost won it last year.
College football in the Big Ten are transformed next year.
Convoluted.
My buddy looked it up and he's reading it to me and he's like, God, this is damn lawyer speak. It kind of implied both things, that he's taking a tremendous pay cut, but it also said fired. I mean, it made no fucking sense to me, so I thought one of you guys might know definitively.
Yeah, let's put it this way. I think that would be a pretty hard, let's say we go 11-1 or 10-2 or let's, God forbid, I shouldn't say God forbid, God willing, 12-0, but we only average 24 points. I have a hard time seeing him getting fired for that.
Right.
You know, because
no, that'll be
you know in that
way more
you know you could be looking at
a game if we're 12-0.
Yeah, you could be looking at a 10-7 win over Penn State or a 10-6 win over Wisconsin. You know, I mean that's kind of so. Here's another thing. You know, I played at the beginning of the show after the fight song, I played the clip of Beathard to Smith. And, you know, is it because we don't have, I mean, it's not, Petras certainly had the arm strength. I don't think he had any accuracy. I shouldn't say any, but I mean, is our problem, has it been the line or has it been our quarterback or has it been our receivers or is it just that awful combination of the three? I mean, Indy, you're a student of the game, so to speak. What would you say? I mean, would you say it's been all, or has it just been our terrible quarterback? I mean, could Beathard
well,
have done
I think,
better behind
I think,
this line?
I think the line is a huge, huge problem. I mean, that's something. Someone's got to explain to me what's happened or what's changed. I mean, we changed offensive line, you know, and he comes in, George Barnett, and, you know. Something is not – we're ground – we win up front. That's what Iowa football is all about. And we throw it around. But if you don't win up front, like we were just getting crushed in the running game. So that's got to change. So I know, looking at that, you've seen how big these guys are? I mean, our offensive line is massive. I remember back in the day when Hayden says we're going to a smaller, quicker, we got four guys over 300, and Jones is up to 290. I mean, we have a massive offensive line, so, you know, kind of gets into the Caleb thing. Is it good weight or is it bad weight? But they're definitely big, so they better impose their will. And that's, to me, where the season hangs, is what do those guys do?
Yeah. Avid Mike, you follow recruiting more than I do. Has it been recruiting losses over the last couple of years? Really?
Well,
it's
not so much losses. It may be evaluations haven't been as what we thought. And we've had a lot of players that have left the program because of injuries or, you know, medical retirement that would be starters right now. You know, Kellenberger a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he was good.
You know, people like that. I mean, it's just, it's a matter of attrition. And we had, last year, we had one player that was a converted tight end and a walk-on starting on our offensive line. I mean, yeah, we've had success with the gallery as a converted tight end, but I just think it was an issue of the recruiting was the biggest issue. We lost out on people, yes, but we also lost a lot of players that couldn't come back because they were, you know, had to medically retire.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. I didn't think about that. We did have that. We did have some guys that – what's the depth chart looking like? Is it
– He seems pretty confident about going eight deep. You know, we're solid at center. And so we have probably seven people that can rotate, you know, through the – and a lot of them can play inside or outside, which is kind of scary, but, you know, I don't know.
And, yeah, they got two solid guys in that – I think in that Dejon Parker and Seth – is it Seth Falk?
Rusty Falk.
Rusty Seth, yeah.
Yeah.
I think those guys are going to be solid and could be starting before long. They're kind of new to the system. And I think Dunker's going to be on a great tackle, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen a depth chart, and I don't know the depth chart. You know, a lot of people say depth charts don't really mean much anyway with Kirk Ferentz, but I know Brother Tommy says don't worry about the defense. I haven't seen, you know, I don't know how deep we are, especially at linebacker. I mean, Noah Shannon, if we were going to lose a spot, defensive line was the spot to have somebody, you know, be gone from there.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's fair to, you know, but I don't know beyond that. I've been disappointed so much in recent years after, you know, I think after last year, yeah, you won the bowl game. And that's the false hope that I get every year when we win our bowl game. It's like, oh, we're going to be great next year. And I don't know. I'm worried a little bit. So, you know, Iowa State the following week, anybody think we don't win that by considerable margin?
I don't
take the
under. Iowa State's tough times for Iowa State right now.
The only thing I say, I agree with all of you, but it's Iowa State. We always find
exactly.
a way to play.
You never
they
to
play us
one.
Well. Yeah, they always play us when they're down.
It's their bowl game.
Yeah. Brother Tommy might like this because he was one of Iowa's favorite. It was one of Brother Tommy's favorite Iowa quarterbacks. His son is now on the roster. Tommy Paholski is I noticed a freshman quarterback. Brother Tommy, do you see Tommy Paholski lighting it up in a couple of years?
I did not know. I did not even know that he was on the team. And Paholski, I like.
For Iowa?
Yeah.
Yeah. Drew Tate was my favorite by far. I mean, I'm going to
No, but
Scott
I remember
Long
you loved Paholski when he was there, remember. You...
I did, but Tate was my favorite, but I did not know that he wasn't a scholarship player. I follow recruiting.
Yeah, no, he says freshman. He might be a preferred walk-on or something, but.
That's what I'm guessing. I mean, I haven't followed it much this year, so you might, maybe he is a scholarship player, but I haven't seen anything about him.
Yeah, somebody said
good,
that.
Good bloodlines.
And here's the one thing. Spencer Petras is not available. He is not enrolled at Iowa as a student. So that fear is going to be – anybody that had that fear that he might – is unfounded. It's not going to happen. So that's like the one saving grace we have. Spencer Petras will not play Saturday.
Well, he's also on the payroll, isn't he? Isn't he a paid assistant or something like that? So he's automatically disqualified, I think, under NCAA rules because of that.
The only thing I hope for
and pray for is he's not the guy that warms up the second string quarterback because the first string quarterback's having problems. And so he's got to throw it back to him. It's like, fuck, Spence, I'm not going to keep running 40 yards to pick up the fucking ball. Open the numbers, you bitch.
Now, you know, what will be interesting, by the way, is the backup, if Cade, you know, doesn't play much or, you know, at all or whatever happens, it's going to be apparently Deacon Hill, not Labus. Apparently,
yeah.
Hill's number two. The transfer from Wisconsin. I guess he's kind of a dual threat, and he got to number two, which tells me a little something that they like him. So,
if he doesn't pan out, we can always move him to defensive end at 258 pounds. So, that's 258 pounds.
Did you say dual threat or buffet threat?
Yeah. Exactly.
I didn't know he was 258. I thought he was kind of something of a dual threat.
He's 200.
They may run some packages with him.
He just quarterback sneak for 10 yards every time.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, no,
he, I was just going to say
talking,
that.
I mean, weight-wise, that's Nate Chandler territory. I mean, that's like,
yeah.
You know, so he's just not 6'7" like Nate.
Like,
well, I mean he's
yeah.
this guy
I think
has like
– I think they have him listed as 6'6".
He's 6'3", 258.
Wow.
I mean,
man,
you're talking about a guy that's 20 pounds heavier than Nate Stanley. Think about that. So,
and Nate was
wow.
Fat.
Yeah.
6'6"
was the
okay,
guy. Although.
Yeah, 6'6". Yeah. Well, guys, we're up against it. It's the hard break, so we're out of time this week. For those in Florida, Brother Tommy and Avid Mike, hope you guys did okay after the storm. I know Brother Tommy said not much, and so stay safe. Guys in Indy and Hawkeye Mike and other parts of the country, I'm jealous that you're going to be able to watch football this Saturday in weather that's not 93 degrees or whatever it's going to be down here. So thanks for being on, guys, and we will probably talk in the next few weeks, if not next week. So go Hawks, and let's be texting this Saturday. They depend on us.
You guys
have a great one.
Okay, you guys
yeah.
Talk to you later. And, of course, I've got to send this out with the one of the best clips ever, as Mike pointed out. Here we go. Have a good one, guys.
Play fake. Beathard sets up deep in the pocket. Goes down the field for Smith. Oh, he caught it! Smith! Touchdown, 85 yards, Iowa! C.J. Beathard!
Thanks for being on, guys, and we will talk to you later.